Proverbs 16, lesson number 53. Look at verse 31. Verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Let me give you lesson 53 this morning. Explain the wise man's teaching in this passage. Here it is. Living life wisely means I will live in the present with an eye on the future. I will live in the present with an eye on the future. This is what I get out of this verse right here. The hoary head is a crown of glory. If, that's a key word in this passage to me, if it be found in the way of righteousness. So living life wisely means I will live in the present with an eye on the future. Now, what is the hoary head? The term hoary head refers to a gray-haired person. Okay, when you read the hoary frost, you look out the window on a heavy frost morning, it looks like it's white out there. That's what the word hoary is, whitish, grayish, okay? The hoary head refers to a gray-haired person, which is in most cases an older person. I say that in most cases, an older person, amen? In most cases, it's an older person. And I know you either get prematurely gray or prematurely loose, one or the other. And I haven't decided yet which is the best way to go here. But anyway, I'll tell you what, Mike Hall has gotten. Whew, Mike Hall. You see Mike Hall? He's not gray anymore. He's white-headed. I mean, just unbelievable. That's what having a college will do for you, amen? But anyway, gray hairs, the Bible says, are a crown of glory if they be found in the way of righteousness. In other words, there is nothing more delightful than an elderly man, an elderly woman, with years of walking with God in their past. Nothing more delightful than that. No source of greater wisdom outside of your Bible than an elderly person with gray hair, white-haired person, who has been walking with God for years and years and years. Now, the benefits of long-term righteousness cannot be measured in material ways only. Matthew Henry said, "Let old people be old disciples." I thought that was a good statement. Let old people be old disciples. In other words, if old people be found in the way of righteousness, then their age becomes their honor. But if old people be found in the way of wickedness, the honor is forfeited. You remember when Redwood Inn used to be in existence down here in Kankakee at exit 308 down here? And they used to give free meals on your birthday. You know, and you go down there and get a free meal on your birthday. And I used to go every year. We'd go down and get a free meal on the birthday. And every January 27th, Denzel Newman would be in there. And Denzel Newman, at that time, was a member of Grace Baptist Church. I think he changed his membership to Calvary later on. But Denzel Newman was a elderly, retired pastor who had pastored for years and years in small towns in Iowa and had come here to this part of Illinois. And somehow, I forget if he was from this, if this was his home or what, but he had retired here and he was... He did things for Brother Marvin over at Grace Baptist Church and later the same thing down here at Calvary Baptist. But boy, he had a shock of white hair. I mean, just white hair, just white as could be. And a man of small physical stature, but just a godly elderly man. And every January 27th, we shared the same birthday. Not the same year, obviously, but the same birthday, date. And every year on the 27th, we'd go there for a meal, and he would be there. And I can't countless times that I fellowshiped with him. His wife was here for Greg Brittick's funeral. Came over for Greg Brittick's funeral. She's still living. He had a couple of granddaughters killed in an accident en route to Bible college, hit head-on by a drunk driver. And they were killed. Their lives were snuffed out. Denzel Newman was one of these men. The hoary head was a crown of honor to him, because it was found in the way of righteousness. For years and years and years, he had practiced walking with the Lord and an honest life and a wholesome life and just a life of living for God. And here it was now in his 70s and 80s, all that added up to a crown of, it was like a crown of honor that he wore. Because the hoary head, if it's found in the way of righteousness, is a crown of glory. So this is very important. The way of righteousness is not something I want to get to someday. Now think about that statement for just a minute. The way of righteousness is not something I want to get to someday. If I want to wear the crown of glory, I need to walk in that way now. Now is the time. Now is the time for you folks, especially in your 20s and 30s. You know, I'm almost ready to hit the 50 mark here a little bit, okay? But you're in your 20s and 30s, in some cases 40s. Now is the time for you to start walking in the way of righteousness. It's not something you want to get to someday, okay? It's not something you want to put off to your 50 or 60, because if Jesus stays in heaven and you're blessed with good health, one of these days you're going to be 65 and 70 and 75. And one of these days the hair on your head is going to be white or gone, okay? It is. It's going to be white. And if it be found in the way of righteousness, and I mean years of experience of walking with the Lord and getting through all the different seasons of life. There are seasons in life, just like there's seasons in the harvest. So there's seasons of weather out here. You got spring, you got summer, you got fall, you got winter. And there are those seasons in life. There are seasons of harvest. There are seasons of hot, dry, dusty times. There are seasons when it's cold and frigid. And it feels like the Lord's left you by yourself and forsaken you. And if you endure and get through those seasons by walking with God, the experience that you gain, it's not the way of righteousness. It's not something you want to get to someday. It's the way you want to walk in right now, okay? Now, let me say this. This is not to suggest that a person who gets saved later in life does not have time to walk in the way of righteousness and wear the crown of glory. It doesn't mean that at all. My granddad was a drunk, I mean, for years, for most of his life. He was an alcoholic, you know, adult years, alcoholic. And, I mean, he took his car on Monday and he traveled across the South selling stainless steel hospital items. You know, when he was a salesman for hospitals. They didn't have all the plastic stuff in bags that they have today. You know, I mean, it was all stainless steel. And he loaded his car up on Monday and took off hospitals all over the South, South Carolina and Alabama and Mississippi and Tennessee and some parts of Louisiana and Kentucky and Georgia, of course, all around, and drink himself drunk. Before he'd get home, his paycheck would be gone. He'd be stumbling drunk. Wouldn't have a dime. My grandmother, sometimes she didn't see money in her hand for weeks. It was pathetic. And called one time from a motel room in Alabama and said the demons were getting him and coming in and out the windows and everything. And he had those old DTs where just delirious tremens were just shook and shook and shook. He didn't get saved until he was like 54, 55 years of age. And after he got saved, or before that, maybe about 51, 52, because I think he died at like 56. Those 4 or 5 years that he had as a saved man, though, his life changed unbelievably. I mean, he was mean. He was mean before he got saved. He was mean to my mother, mean to my grandmother, mean to my uncle. God saved him and God changed him. He became one of the happiest men, members of Colonial Hills Baptist Church. But so I'm not saying that a person that gets saved later in life, you know, it's too late to walk in the way of righteousness and wear the crown of glory. That's not true. You know, but the norm is those who wear that crown of honor and that crown of glory usually have walked in the way of righteousness for some time. It's a length of time. And for you folks and for me, okay, for you folks who are in your 20s and 30s, it's applicable for you now. Now is the time to begin to walk in the way of righteousness. Folks, put those years behind you. Put those years in the rearview mirror spent living for God and loving God and serving God. And majoring on the things of God, okay, and walking with Him, and devotions, and prayer time, and loving Him. The years go by in the rearview mirror, boom, 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 boom. And as you look at it in your rearview mirror, make sure they spent walking with God. Because if you'll do that, and you'll do it for years and years, you get that gray hair. Friend, it's going to be a crown of glory. There's nothing sweeter than an elderly woman, elderly man, who spent their lifetimes living for the Lord. There's nothing sweeter than that whatsoever. My experience is that people who get saved later in life have a difficult time getting over some of the habits they practiced, not for years, but decades. I mean, I've seen elderly people get saved and want to live for the Lord. I mean, saved in their 70s, okay, and want to live for the Lord. I visit them in their homes, and females, and they use bad language. It's a way of life. They've used bad language for so many years. It just, you know, and I've said, hey, you don't need to talk like that anymore. I've said that to elderly ladies that have been saved and baptized in this church in their 70s. I said, you don't need to talk like that anymore. God saved you. Change it. You need to change your vocabulary. And they feel bad. But see, it's when you've lived that way for decades, sometimes it is hard to change. And boy, I tell you what, it amazes me. It seems like today's older generation, I'm going to say a word downstairs of it this morning. I'm going to be very careful when I do. But I'm not going to dance around the subject either. But to mothers. But it just seems like today's older generation takes glory in how tough they can talk and how hard they can party and how suggestive they can be in their talks. I mean, the older generation. I'm talking about those in the 70s. They take some kind of honor or glory in bad language and suggestive talk and how hard they can party. I want to tell you something, friend. That's not a crown of glory. That's not a crown of glory. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. Man, grow old, grow sweet. Amen. Grow old, grow precious. And you, if you walk in the way of righteousness, live in the present with an eye, the present, with an eye on the future. Watch those years go by in your rearview mirror, having spent living for God and serving Him. You'll never regret that. You'll never regret that, okay? The wise person realizes how quickly time passes and begins now to establish themselves in the way of righteousness. Well, my mom and dad and Joyce's mom and dad are there. They're at that age. They're all in their 70s. That mom's not quite 70. But my dad, Joyce's dad, Joyce's mom, in their 70s now. And Joyce's mom approaching 80. Her birthday's today, 77 years old today, I think. And years of living right. Years of walking with God. Years of honest living. And now by that crown of glory, that hoary head, if it be found in the way of righteousness, is a crown of glory. So live in the present with an eye on the future. You want to get to that age that way. You don't want to get to that age bragging on how hard you can party at 70. You want to be it. You don't want to get to 75 and still able to talk salty and take some kind of glory in that. It ought to be that your vocabulary is seasoned with grace by the time you're 75. And you can sit with little great-grandchildren, hopefully, and grandchildren at your feet and teach them the ways of righteousness. Not by something you've heard somebody say, but by practical experience, having lived it. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. If it's not found in the way of righteousness, it can be tough. Okay? So live in the present with an eye on the future. Begin right now to put those years behind you walking in the way of righteousness. Okay, let me give you number 54 this morning. Number 54, it's in chapter 17 and verse number 2. You find the word wise here in verse number 2, chapter 17. Solomon said this, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. That's an interesting verse right there. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Now, listen very closely. I'm going to have to lay the foundation for this. I may not finish this morning. Living life wisely results in opportunities for influence and honor. Living life wisely results in opportunities for influence and honor. Now, we're going to go all the way back and reestablish this whole thing here. Okay, because it's going to take me a few minutes to do this. To understand this proverb, you have to understand Jewish culture in Bible days. You read this proverb right here and you think, what in the world? Look at it again. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. A servant rules over a son and then someday shares in the inheritance. Bible says that's possible. Okay? That's what a wise servant will do. Now, you got to understand Jewish culture. It was very common for a Jewish man to have servants among those in his household. He had his wife and he had his children, and then he had a number of servants. Abraham is an example of that. Okay? So are the other patriarchs. Jewish families down through time. They had a wife, they had a child, they had in their household servants. Now, the servants were not slaves in the way that we think of slaves as it was in our country and over in Africa in years gone by. Eleazar was a trusted companion of Abraham, okay? So these are just, it's just like having a, group of men working for you, okay? This is what happened in the Jewish culture. Now, the children in the family, were dealt with as if they were servants until they reached age 12. They were dealt with as if they were servants. And then they had their coming out, or their what they called adoption. And when the child came of age, and usually that was around age 12, when the child came of age, they were then adopted into the family and treated as a son or a daughter with full rights and privileges of being in the family. But until that time, they really weren't treated any better or different, I should say, than the servants. It's not that the servants were treated badly. They just didn't have the rights and privileges that pertain to the family. They weren't included in the inheritance, okay? Things like that. And the children, until they were adopted, differed nothing from a servant. You can see this in Galatians chapter 4. Hold your finger there in Proverbs and look over at Galatians chapter 4, and you'll find Paul saying this here in the New Testament book of Galatians. If you find Romans, and then you find 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you keep turning to your right, and you'll come to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, if you need to look in the index in the New Testament and find the page number, Galatians chapter 4, and look what Paul said here in verse 1 and 2, okay? Galatians chapter 4, 1 and 2. All right, notice this. He said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child," okay, who are your heirs? Your heirs are your children. Your heirs are not your servants, okay? "Then I say, as long as he is a child," okay, "differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." He's next in line. He's in the lineage to become the inheritor of all that belongs to dad. But as long as he is a child, he differs not, he doesn't differ at all from the servants. Do you see that? Okay. Look at number 2. "But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father," until the child has his coming out. The Jews practiced this with what they call a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. Okay, bar mitzvah for the boys, bat mitzvah for the girls. At age 12, they had this great big party. And I mean, these Jewish families sometimes spend $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 on these bat and bar mitzvahs. Huge parties. I mean, unbelievable, lavish things. It's the child's coming of age. And when they were adopted into the family, and after they're adopted, they have full rights and privileges. Now, if something happens to dad, the 13-year-old boy becomes the inheritor of everything. But before he's 13 or 12, he's treated no different than a servant. Okay, are you with me? All right, you with me? Now, spiritually speaking, we are adopted as soon as we're saved. All right, we're adopted as soon as we're saved. Spiritually speaking, when you're born into God's family, there's no difference between a child and an adopted child. Everybody's been adopted. Everybody's taken into the family of God and has full rights and privileges immediately after you're saved. Okay, there is no coming out. There is no coming of age. There is no, you know what, you've only been saved 2 years. You can't pray. You can't understand the Bible. You can't confess your own sins. You got to be helped. No, 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 no. As soon as you're born into God's family, you can talk to the same God that I can talk to. I've been saved 31 years almost. No different. But listen very carefully. What he's saying here, I'm going to apply this spiritually in just a second. He's saying here in Proverbs 17 that it's possible for a wise servant. You take a servant who's extremely wise. He literally could live so wisely that he comes to the place where he would rule over the son and have an inheritance among the brethren. I mean, the Jewish father would so appreciate and so love and so respect this servant that he gives him a place among his children. Let's say he's got 3 sons. Now he divides his inheritance up 4 ways or 5 ways. Gives 2 portions to the firstborn son and then the other 2 boys and the servant all get treated as a son. This is what the wise man is saying here. A wise servant can so live and serve his master that he's actually included in the inheritance with the brethren. Okay? He's given a position of honor and a position of influence. Now, all that to say this. Wisdom There is no time, to go back to what I've said earlier. Spiritually speaking, you're adopted into the family immediately. Okay? There is no difference in somebody's been saved for 50 years and somebody's been saved for 5 minutes when it comes to prayer. You can talk to the same God that the person has been saved 50 years. There is no difference in reading this Bible. Now, the person that's been saved 50 years is going to know the Bible a little better. But if you've been saved 5 weeks, as opposed to somebody who's been saved 50 years, you got the same author living in your body that lives in that person's body. You're adopted. You're in. Okay? As soon as you get saved, you are in. Now, wisdom will bring a child of God into opportunities for influence and honor. Listen, it's not a matter of how long you've been saved. You say, well, I can't really start reaping the benefits of the Christian life until I've been saved for 15 years. Not so. Not so. You can start reaping the benefits of the Christian life immediately. If a newborn Christian begins to live wisely and practice the principles of wisdom found in the Bible, God will bless a newborn Christian just as quick as He'll bless one that's been saved 50 years. In fact, if the person who's been saved for 50 years isn't practicing principles of biblical wisdom, they're not going to have the blessing of God. And you take somebody who's been saved for 15 weeks and they're practicing the principles of wisdom, they can enjoy the blessings. The wise Christian understands this. You see, there may be other children of God who've been saved for years and years, who have not incorporated the principles of wisdom into their life. So even though they've been saved longer, they've not been given the opportunities for influence and honor. They've not been blessed. You take a situation where some of the kids in our church, they're born into a Christian home, they're reared in a Christian home, they're reared in church, they're reared in a Christian school, they have a background. Years and years of training and teaching. It's no guarantee that they'll have the blessings of God just because that's in their pedigree. At some point, they've got to incorporate the principles of wisdom in their life. Now, you take a teenager who's saved at age 17, who comes from a home where there was no Bible influence and no church and no Christian education, and that teenager or that young adult man or young adult woman begin to incorporate principles of wisdom in their home, they can have the blessings of God that the other person doesn't have. They don't have the same pedigree when it comes to Christian home, Christian education, church for years. But they've started living according to the Word of God. They've seized the opportunity. They've seen here, boy, here's a way to live. The principles of wisdom, huh? This is it right here. See, this is what he's saying. I guess it's very possible. Here's a boy, here's a dad, and he has three sons. And he has, maybe two or three servants. And he's got a servant who's the steward of his house, the head servant. And the guy is unbelievable in his character and his work and everything. And the dad has a son who's a loser. He's lazy and he's a squanderer. And he oversleeps and he cares nothing about his dad's farm. He cares nothing about his dad's business. He's partier and carry on. He's a wild person. Solomon said it's very possible for that wise servant to have the same place of honor and place of inheritance that foolish son should have. Okay? Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. You don't have to be saved for 50 years to start having the blessings of God. If you'll start in the first 7 days living for God, God will start blessing your life and bring you into places of influence and honor no matter how long you've been saved. Now, the truth of the matter is, friend, listen very carefully. There's a lot of Christian blue bloods who aren't experiencing the blessings of God today. I mean, they were blue bloods. They were reared in it from the time they were toddlers. But they haven't practiced Bible wisdom. God's not obligated to bless them. Here's a person who gets saved at age 25, 27, 18, 16. They start living for God. God will bless them abundantly. Amen? Sure He will. That's how it works. All right. We'll see you downstairs. Thank you for being here this morning. Finish up this good grub down here and juice Simply Orange today. Don't forget, next Sunday we're going to Brother Don's to eat. And we need to win the ice cream contest. Don't forget that. And the cookout on Saturday. It's all about food.